I think we'll make a start. We've got quite a respectable number of people here, and I really do appreciate you coming along today. It's the first webinar that we've conducted about JSEI itself. Usually I'm conducting a webinar almost every week at the moment, but this is the first one about JSEI, and as I say, thank you very much indeed. And welcome everyone to the JSEI 15.1 webinar. Just to let you know that I am recording the webinar, so if you ask questions during the presentation, and you're very welcome to do that, your voice will be recorded. I'm Brian Hartchen, and as I'm sure that you'll know, it is our company, Hartchen Consultancy, which produces the JSEI software. JSEI is now in its 14th year of development, and we're about to launch version 15.1. Most people in the room will know what JSEI is. JSEI allows the JAWS screen reader and Dragon Naturally Speaking voice input tool to work together so that the blind user can control the computer by speaking to it. I would say that JSEI is far more than a bridge between the JAWS for Windows screen reader and Dragon Naturally Speaking. That's a term that I've often heard to describe it, but to my mind, a bridge indicates that what the product really does is allow a person to use all of the JAWS screen reading functions by voice, and also to receive echo back of their dictated text, and not much more. Yes, JSEI, of course, does do that and always has, but that's a very simplistic way of looking at it. What I've tried to do over the years is to be creative, to create features which someone who is blind and needs to use voice recognition software would be able to benefit from. Now, a good example would be the ability to select text in a document or on a web page. A Dragon user can, say, speak the next 10 sentences, as an example, if he or she can see the screen. But if you can't see what the next 10 sentences are, then you are not going to be able to ensure that the right amount of text is selected. Another good example would be our JSEI search facility to allow a user to search more easily for content using a range of different sources such as Amazon and Google. These and many more features are heavily used, and I know that because I either train people how they're used or I talk to them. I do a lot of talking, as you can imagine, particularly within the United States and Canada, because that is where a good proportion of JSEI is sold. I'm telling you this because JSEI 15.1 that we're going to be talking about, with that version, we're beginning to stretch the creativity and the use of imagination a little bit further, I think. And as you'll see, this could be the starting point of some really good things to come in the next few months and certainly the next year or so. So I don't think this will be a particularly long webinar, but what I want to do here is to explain one or two of the new features to you, perhaps a bit more than one or two, and a significant change that we're making in this version. Now, this change relates to a feature that we've had in place since version 6.1, which seems a very long time ago now. We'll come to that later, but it relates to storing shortcuts to folders and also files. Now, those of you who are JSEI users will know exactly what I'm talking about there. It also relates to contacts as well. It's nice to see one or two of our product distributors in the room. We're very glad that they're here because obviously we couldn't do without them. And there is one feature that I'm going to start with in a moment, which will be a particular benefit to those product distributors, I'm sure. And also, it's good to see one or two beta testers in the room as well. Thank you very much for coming along again. They're input is invaluable, as is the input from anybody who cares to send in, whether it be a bug report, a suggestion, an idea for a new feature. They are particularly important because that is where our ideas for features for future improvement come from. So it's really essential that people write to us. Please don't feel that you're pestering us or anything like that. It's really good to be able to hear the feedback that we get. We released JSA 15 earlier than our usual schedule. That was in December of 2016, and that was predominantly to ensure that we had voice compatibility to support some of the JAWS version 18 features. A few JSA problems were fixed, and some improvements were made to audio transcription in that version. That is the process where you can dictate text into a portable recorder and Dragon will transcribe that audio as text. We provide, I think, a good interface not only to make that accessible but also to give audio cues as to what should be happening during the transcription process. So what I'm going to do then is to introduce you to some of the new features right now. I'll tell you about one or two of these, and then I will pause and see if there are any questions about those. And I'll keep going in that fashion so that we can keep this structured. And if you could please keep any questions relative to what it is that we're talking about, that would be really helpful. Thank you very much. And at the end, I'll give a little bit of time, of course, to answer any questions that there might be other than that about JSA in general. Now, one of the things that we do a lot is, as I said, talk to people. We have a network of product distributors, particularly in Australia, the US, the UK and Canada, who not only sell JSA, but also deliver training to people in its use. And that's absolutely vital because obviously we can't do everything. From the user's point of view, one of the difficulties that the person has who's using the software is remembering what to do when the trainer is gone. It's always a problem, isn't it? There are quite a few voice commands to remember after all. So how do you get over that problem? Well, you might say, get the trainer to record audio notes, and that's fair enough. Or create a Microsoft Word document with the notes in. But the person has still to search for that information. So they might be working in a particular area, they might forget how to interact with it, and they might think, oh, I've got to look up my next note now. Couldn't we, as a company, create a context-sensitive help system? Well, we've done that in the past with varying degrees of success. But context-sensitive help, I think, is only useful if the person understands what you're trying to convey. We all have different ways, don't we, of learning. Some people like more explanatory, narrative text describing absolutely every step-by-step procedure. Some just like a brief note or two. It really depends on the way that you work. And that's not condemning anyone's ability to be able to learn. We're all different, as I say, which leads me to the JSA Assistant. Now, the purpose of the JSA Assistant is for trainers to create custom notes for a user relative to the computing environment that they're working in. So, as a basic example, if your user was in a list box, maybe it's in Windows Explorer, for example, you can create, as a trainer, some custom notes telling the person what to do in that situation. Now, when the user wants to be reminded of the instructions, all he or she needs to do is to say, "Remind me." That's a logical phrase, isn't it? And the text is spoken back. Now, a trainer who has been working with a student for some time should have a real good grasp of the kind of information which is acceptable to that user, which can be understood at a later time. And they can therefore tailor the custom notes to suit the individual circumstance. Now, best of all, if you actually use the GC software and the assistant to good effect, it can be particularly intelligent in reminding the user what to do at a particular time. So, for example, if the user is on a website designed for shopping for groceries, that could be a good way of using the GC assistant as well. Custom notes could be created for the individual website, containing a list of items that the person would usually purchase. So not only have we created keyboard commands for the GC assistant, but we have created voice commands as well, so that the GC user is able to use it themselves if that's what they want to do. So that would be an excellent example of how it could be used as a reminder exercise. Alternatively, if the user encounters a checkbox and he or she always has a bit of a block as to how to work with that particular checkbox, custom text can be created as a reminder for that. So let's go through a couple of working examples and then you can see exactly what it is going to be like. And next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday next week, you'll be able to try it out for yourself anyway if you have version 15 already. Come to that later. I will give you the keystrokes and I'll also obviously give you the voice commands as well. So the first thing that we have to do, and we're going to do, is to create some custom text to be associated with a Microsoft Word document, or should I say any Microsoft Word document. It can be a specific document if you would like to do that. But let's say that we want to create this custom text for all Microsoft Word documents, and then our user is going to be able to say, "Remind me," and be reminded of what the text is. Okay, so here's how we do it. We first of all get into any word processor, so it could be Microsoft Word, or it could be something like Notepad.
Title is Untitled Notepad.
There we go. And I'm going to create some custom text. Okay, so just because we want this to be associated with Microsoft Word, we don't have to compose it in Word if we don't want to, if we're more comfortable with Notepad. So this is the kind of thing that you might write if a person got into Microsoft Word and didn't know what to do. So I'm going to type, to move to the top of the document, say go to top.
Oh,
okay, so that's the first instruction. They might want to have a note of, to hear the entire document, say speak document. And then to silence the speech, say be quiet. Okay, so that's our custom text. Okay, so I've just written that very, very quickly, but you can make it whatever you want. Right, now we are going to select all of that text with Control A.
Selected to move.
And then copy it to the clipboard with Control C.
Copied selection to clipboard.
This should sound familiar because if you're used to creating text notes and things like that, it's exactly the same procedure. So there's nothing at all difficult about it. Right. Okay. So that's our text. Now what we'll do is we'll just close Notepad down here.
Notepad dialog. JC.
Okay, that's fine. Now I'm going to find Microsoft Word.
Document one word. Document one dash word. Print view. Edit.
Okay, so here we are in Word. And I'm going to train it for this particular environment, all Microsoft Word documents. And to do that, we press the JC key, then release it, then press Windows key with T for training, or T for tango.
J-C. Training association dialog. List one, list view. Control name, such as a button or link. One of two.
Now you've got two items here. Control name, such as a button or link. And the second option is window title, such as your email inbox, document name, or web page domain. Okay, now if you focused on a specific control, such as a link on a web page itself, and you wanted to give the user a reminder as to how to work with that particular control, then you would use the first option in the list. You would also use it in a situation such as this one that we're working through now, because we want it to be applied to all Microsoft Word documents and not a specific document. If you wanted it to be a specific document, you would choose the other option. You would also use the second option if you wanted the custom text to be associated, as I say, with the window title. So that could be a document name, it could be an inbox, it could be an individual website, as I say. So we're going to go ahead now and choose the first option by pressing enter on this.
Document 1, print view, edit, complete.
And you're advised that the process is complete. Now, how to recall it? Well, there are two ways of doing it, of course. The JC user can open up a Word document and they can say, remind me, as I've already said. And the text which you have already applied to this environment will be spoken automatically, and it's displayed in the JAWS virtual viewer, meaning that it can be navigated either with the arrow keys or by using any of the techniques for reading by voice that the person really ought to know by this point. When the text has been reviewed, then the user can say cancel that so as to return to the original application, in this case Microsoft Word. Now, the good thing is that as a trainer, you can test the reminder text yourself with the keyboard. You, again, open up the environment that the text has been attached to, and you will press the JC key followed by Windows key with R. So that's the JC key, release it, and then press Windows R.
J-C. To move to the top of the document, say go to top. To hear the entire document, say speak document. To silence the speech, say be quiet. Press escape or say cancel that to return to where you were located.
Okay, so hopefully you heard that, and that's exactly what the reminder text was that we created. So we will just press escape there.
Blank, print view, edit.
Let's just quickly walk through the other type of example. I won't necessarily demonstrate it. But let's say you wanted to create some custom text for the Google website so as to remind the user to navigate by heading with the next heading command when the Google results are in focus. What you would do is you would launch the application such as Notepad as we did before. And you would type something like this. When the Google results appear, navigate through each one by saying next heading. When you get to an item of interest, say confirm that. To go back to the results, say go back. So they're useful little reminders as to what the user can do when they're on Google. Then once you've got all that text in place, you would select it again with Control A and copy it to the clipboard as I described earlier on. Then you would navigate to any page on the Google website, because this is relative to the domain, not an individual page. Just to keep things very simple at this stage. Remember, this is our first run at this particular feature. Next, you would press the JC key followed by Windows with T, and this time you would select the second option down so as to associate it with a window title or a web page domain. Then you would press enter and the text will be associated with it. Okay, so a couple of other important notes, and then I will just release the microphone because that was quite a big topic, to see if there are any questions. The text can be edited at any time, so don't worry if the notes aren't quite right. There's a couple of things you can do. You can edit the text. So what you would do is you would navigate to the environment to which the text had been attached or associated. Then you would press the JC key followed by Windows with E for echo or for edit, and the text will be available to you at that point, and you can go ahead and edit it, and then you will just save the text by pressing Control S and then Alt F4 to close it. So it's quite simple. If you don't want to do that, you can always overwrite the existing text completely by navigating to the chosen environment, whatever it is that you're customizing, and recreating the custom text by following the procedure that we just went through, by pressing the JC key followed by Windows and T. And you can go through that routine and it will just be overwritten. Just in summary, the voice commands for operating these items, of course, are start training. That's the equivalent to JC key followed by Windows with T. Edit training is the next command, the equivalent to the JC key followed by Windows with E. And there's remind me, of course. Equivalent is JC key Windows with R. So that is the JC Assistant. As I say, it's our first run at this. We hope people will find it useful. To be quite honest, I don't know why there isn't this facility within screen readers already, because I do think it would make a very useful addition to people who really do struggle with remembering how to work with different situations and the text is delivered in language which is suitable for them, that they understand. So I hope that this will catch on, and we've already got some good ideas as to how we might improve it in the future. So we're not saying it's perfect, but it's certainly, I think, a very good starting point, and we hope that people will find that useful. So I'm just going to release the microphone now, just for a moment, and see if there are any questions on that before I move on to the next items.
Brian, I'm not necessarily a JSA trainer, but there are a number of commands that I've forgotten, and so I can see myself making quite a few notes for myself, because as you say, there are quite a few commands, and I've more than once had to stop what I'm doing and get command index to go look up the command that I've forgotten. So I think I'll be making some notes for myself, just because it's frustrating to have to look up. There's some things it seems like no matter how many times I do them, I can never remember them. So that's pretty exciting.
That's very useful feedback. Thanks very much, Sean, for that. And do let us know how you go and obviously how we can improve it. We're not afraid to hear about that. And very best of luck with it. So let me run through a few quick features then, or improvements that we've made in version 15.1. Other than that, now, the first one is that with JC 15, when we launched it, obviously it was working with Dragon 15, that's Dragon Professional Individual, and we did have some real problems when the user had elected to start Dragon when Windows was started. So this only applied to Dragon 15. But when that option was enabled, often there would be DLL errors which would arise. And we didn't know to begin with where these were coming from, but we actually pinpointed it to that. And those have been fixed now. And obviously that's a very important feature that we get right, because Dragon must start for a lot of our customers when Windows is started. So we're very pleased to be able to sort that one out. Now, other things I've got a note of. When using the command go to desktop, what used to happen is that the first item on the desktop would be selected. That no longer happens. Okay, so you just go to the desktop, and if there is an item in the middle of the desktop which is ordinarily selected, JC is not going to move focus somewhere else where you don't expect it to be. I think, Sean, that was one of your suggestions. So if that is the case, if my memory serves me right, it is, and if it is, then that one is in there. You can now cycle between the various punctuation levels that JAWS speaks. We did have this to a limited fashion, so we had punctuation on, I think, and punctuation off. But now you can say no punctuation, some punctuation, most punctuation, and all punctuation. So those four commands are definitely in there. There is a command called skip signature. I actually think we had this one in some years ago, but it is back definitely now with a vengeance. So in Microsoft Outlook, a lot of what happens is you read the first part of a message and then the person's signature is underneath, and with a lot of companies and organizations, those signatures are actually quite long. And what you want to do as the user is to bypass all of that, and you actually want to get to the next part of the conversation, the earlier part of the conversation thread that is underneath, where you can now say skip signature, and that will attempt to find the next part of the conversation for you. Some commands relating to the internet now. You can now say move forward X headings, where X is 1 through to 20. We already had fields in there, I noticed. So you could say move forward X number of fields. You can now do that by heading. And you can also say headings on, headings off, and check headings. So what does that actually mean? Well, if you say headings off, JAWS will not speak the heading and level information. So, for example, ordinarily, as you navigate, particularly in an environment like Google, for example, you go through the results. If you search for dog food, it's going to say something like dog food, pets and treats, heading level 2, something like that. It's not going to say the heading level 2 if you turn that feature off. So that was something that was requested. So that's gone in. And you can also say level 1 headings through to level 6 headings. So let's say you're at the top of a web page and you know that the next item you want to get to is a level 3 heading. You can say level 3 headings and it will move directly to the next level 3 heading on the page, bypassing any intervening headings that there might be. We've got some commands for tabbed browsing. So opening a link in a new tab, switching between tabs, that sort of thing within a web browser. I'm not going to list all those commands now. They are in the command summary. And of course, all of the things that I'm talking about, the commands are either in the command summary or they have chapters dedicated to the features themselves in the learning module, which is getting very extensive now because that one on the first feature that I talked about, the JSA Assistant, is chapter 42. So we are getting through them. So back to the commands, some relating to tabbed browsing. Select an object in Microsoft Word. That was put in as well by request. Janine was asking about this next set of commands. We have some commands for the Audible Manager. You can do things obviously like play the book and you can pause it and you can skip around it and that sort of thing. Not a great many commands, but we do have commands to do the most common things, I think, within Audible Manager. So I hope that you like that. We had a situation where the confirm that command was giving some wrong information and trying to do some things that it shouldn't be doing when you were in certain environments. So what it was trying to do is apply some of the functionality that is relative to coming out of the dictation box. That has been fixed as well. When creating a voice command, so if you're doing this with the keyboard, for example, and you want to create a voice command using any of the Dragon native features, such as advanced scripting or step-by-step macros or anything like that, there was a combo box where JAWS wasn't speaking the information out of the four options that you had navigated to. I'd suggest that affects very few people, but JAWS wasn't speaking that information, so that has now been fixed as well. Let's move on to the next feature. Now, this will only affect a few select people, I think, but it was a feature that we initially produced for our Lisi product, which is for keyboard users. And part of what Lisi does is to make you more productive and to give you access to certain features you wouldn't have in JAWS, in fact, quite a lot of features. And when we put this one into Lisi, some of the JSA users wanted to use it as well. So we've ported it over to JSA and obviously made it voice compatible. And the emoji feature, where you can bring up a list of emoji to insert into Facebook messages and tweets, that kind of thing, that was also a leaky feature. So these things do happen. Sometimes what we'll do, just by way of interest, is we'll introduce features into Leaky. And if that goes well, if people like it, and after a little bit of refinement, we'll bring it to JSA. Sometimes it happens the other way around as well. We'll give people who are JSA users a feature first, and then we'll improve on it and then bring it to Leaky. So it really depends when the idea comes in and which product is kind of on the table at that point to be developed as to when things happen. But usually people end up with it. But this is a feature called the HTML Assistant. What a lot of people do these days is they produce blogs or web pages and HTML documents. But in order for the presentation to look visually appealing and to enable a high standard of navigation to screen reading software, as well as everyone else, it's important to include the correct HTML markup in there. So the HTML Assistant, it enables you to create HTML at very specific points in the document. So you could be creating a blog entry on your own blogging platform, or you could be in a Notepad document, for example, creating some pure HTML, and you can't remember what the syntax is in order to get the right HTML code in there. And some people just don't know it, and that's absolutely fine. That's what this is all about as well. So the HTML assistant can help with the creation of headings, at specific levels, hyperlinks, bulleted or numbered lists, also inserting tables. It's particularly good at inserting tables because it will give you useful information as to where to put your columns and rows and the information to put in each cell and that kind of thing. It really does guide you through the various aspects of creating HTML documents or web pages or whatever it is that you're creating in an HTML form. So I'll just show you a little bit of this and then we'll move on. There are a couple of ways of being able to access the HTML assistant. One is a keystroke, of course. We do try to make most of the features keyboard-driven and voice-driven, if we can. And that is Alt-Control-Windows-H. There is a voice command, of course, for it, which is Get HTML. The other thing that you can do, once you get used to the HTML assistant, because what it does is it actually brings up a list of all the different things that you can do. But there might be situations, once you get used to it, where you want to insert a heading or a link and you know that is what you want to do, in which case there is a voice command for it, such as get link or get heading. So let me just get into a Notepad document again, and I will bring up the HTML assistant so you can hear what it's like.
HTML menu dialog, list 1, list view, heading 1, 1 of 15.
Okay, so you've got various options here. So let's say that we're writing or dictating an HTML document, and we want to create a link pointing to a web page. So we could arrow down here.
Heading 2, heading 3, heading 4, heading 5. Heading 6.
Of course, it's a list box, so you can use first letter navigation, or you can say what it is that you would like. But we want link.
Paragraph. Link.
Okay, there's link. But we've got other options here. But if we were to say confirm that, or press enter on the link.
JAWS creating a link dialog. Please type or dictate the URL for the link, then press enter or say confirm that edit.
Okay, so what it's wanting here is what the URL should be, or the web page address. So we're going to type that in now. So I'm just going to type http://www.hartgen.org. And then we would say confirm that to go to the next stage.
JAWS creating a link dialog. Please type or dictate the text to be included as part of the link, then press enter or say confirm that.
We will type, please visit our website. And then you would say again, confirm that or press enter.
Link created.
And it's created the code. I can actually see it here on my Braille display, but it has created the code which would not only contain the URL, but it will also contain the caption for the link itself. As I say, there's a lot in the HTML assistant. And if that interests you, then please feel free to go ahead and have a look at it when you get JSA 15.1. And there is a very lengthy chapter, not only detailing what all the options are, but also giving you lots of examples as to how you might use particular parts of it. I won't pause there. Let's just move on to the next item, and then I will pause for any questions, because we're almost on the last item. It's the last but one. So for many years, we've had a system called JSA Shortcuts. We've also had text notes and contacts. It's been one of the things, whenever I deliver training to people, I always train them how to use it. There's no question about it. A lot of people really do benefit from this. In brief, these allow you to link a voice command to a particular folder or any file or web page. You can save documents into different folders as well. With text notes, you can reproduce a block of text with a voice command. And contacts allow you to create email messages more easily. They've always had a couple of disadvantages. First of all, when they had been created, you needed to restart Dragon for them to take effect. And I keep coming back to training, but certainly if you are training someone, you'll identify with this, that it's a bit discouraging to say to the user, well, we've done this now, but now you've got to restart Dragon or you've got to restart the computer. And some people do not like restarting Dragon. They really don't. Even though there was the refresh commands, they don't like doing it. So if restarting the computer is what they need to do, then it does take quite a long time for them to become active. The second thing was that there were some problems creating them depending upon the Dragon version being used and the operating system. I'm not going to go into those complexities now, but over the years, there have been some problem areas there, and we don't like problem areas. If there's a way of solving something, even if it means changing the whole way we do things, that is what we do, because most people depend on this software, obviously, to be independent. Most of our customers do not have keyboarding ability, or a very limited keyboarding ability, but a lot of them don't have any at all. So we have to make sure that the way we do things is as easy for the vast majority of people as it can be and should be. So what we've tried to do in this version is to streamline this whole process a little of creating these things, but it does mean a slightly different way of working with these items to that which you've been used to. So if you're listening to the archive of this and you're a long-standing JSA user over many years, you may just want to run over this recording a few times before you delve into version 15.1, because it is slightly different. And also, if you're not sure, then again, the shortcuts and contacts chapter of the documentation has been considerably rewritten to take account of all that I'm going to say now. We discussed this new approach extensively with our beta testing team, because we do rely on those people to give us good advice and input. And together we went through a few versions of this before we were all happy with it, and we got to the point where we are now. But I'm hopeful that what we do have, as I say, is reliable. I'm going to work through a couple of examples with you now so that you get the idea as to what we're talking about. What we're going to do first is we're going to create a shortcut pointing to the letters folder. We've tried to make the process of creating the items the same. Okay, and it is almost the same. so that people who are not necessarily used to working with access technology will still be able to follow the routine they always have been able to. So I've got a folder here on my hard disk on drive C called Letters.
Title is C.
And I'm focused on the Letters folder. So I'm not inside it. I'm just focused on it. It's highlighted.
Letters.
And I just pressed insert up arrow to verify that. Of course, the sighted person will be able to see that they were on the Letters folder. So that's where we are. So what the person would typically have done then would be to go into the Shortcuts Manager by pressing the JSA key followed by S. Of course, there is a voice equivalent to that, which is Store Shortcut, I think. So the person can say that, and they're going to get to where we're going to get to. So I'm going to go into the Shortcuts Manager.
JSA. JAWS. JSA Shortcuts Manager Dialog. List 1. List View. Store Shortcut. 1 of 10.
Okay, now the first thing is the Shortcuts Manager has been redesigned slightly, and it is now a list box. The options are the same, it's just the arrangement that's slightly different. So the first item is Store Shortcut. So rather than pressing space on this item, you're going to press Enter.
JAWS, Store Shortcut Dialog. Please enter or dictate the name you would like to use to launch this item in the future.
It is now giving you the same prompt as it always used to. So,
Land.
There's nothing in here at the moment, so we're being asked for the name. And I'm going to call it Letters. Of course, it doesn't need to correspond with the folder name. If it's a particularly long folder name, then obviously that's going to make it difficult for the person to say anyway, isn't it? So you can abbreviate it. That was always the good thing about it. So we're going to type Letters in here, because that makes sense.
Letters.
Now we're going to press Enter, and there's a slight change.
JAWS, Store Shortcut Dialog. This is the path to the folder. Please change if necessary, then say confirm that or press Enter.
Okay, so now we're displaying the path to the folder. Now, JSA should usually pick this up anyway. In 9 times out of 10, it should do. But just in case, what we're trying to do here is to cover ourselves. You're able to read it in this edit box, and if it's not correct, then you can change it. Now, if you had created a shortcut pointing to a file, then that is going to be displayed as well. The full path and the file name is going to be displayed there. So we should have C colon backslash letters.
C letters.
Yes, we have. Okay, and I'm going to press Enter on it.
Complete.
And it's complete. Now, did you notice something? What used to happen is you used to have to wait quite a while for the process to be complete, but now it is instant, and it is instantly available. How do you actually get it to work? Well, here's the slight difference. What you used to be able to do is to say start followed by the folder name. You don't do this now. Okay, what you actually do is you say start shortcut, and it will bring up an edit box into which you will dictate the name that you want to focus on. Okay, so normally there isn't a keyboard equivalent to this, but I've created one so that I can talk you through this and talk to you at the same time. Okay, so let's assume that we've said start shortcut.
JAWS, start shortcut dialog, item to run, edit.
And it says item to run. Okay, so in here, you would dictate the word letters. Okay, which was our folder name, and then you would say confirm that.
Complete, see letters, items.
And here we are in the folder. So just to reiterate it once again, whereas you used to say start followed by the folder name, you would now say start shortcut. It prompts you, and you would dictate the name of the item that you want to run, and then you would say confirm that. Now, don't forget, if you cannot remember the name of the folder, you still have all the old utilities as well, such as select a shortcut, select a text note, that sort of thing. So you do have those, as you always have. And they are, again, navigable via the Shortcuts Manager. You can select any one of those. But it's just this essential difference in the approach that you take. And this difference in approach is right across the board between Shortcuts, Text Notes, and also Contacts as well. So there are voice commands to do all of these things. So let's say you'd created a text note. In the usual way, there isn't any difference in the way that it's created. It's just the fact that you can use it immediately. The process for creating it is exactly the same. It's just how you access it. So if you want to access the text note, what you would have said in the past is text note followed by the text note name, and it would say text note has been reproduced. What you would do now is you would say text note. It would prompt you for the name of the text note that you want, and then you would say confirm that, and the text note would be inserted. Contacts have a very similar procedure as well. Again, it's outlined in the documentation. Well, not outlined, it's fully described there. But I hope that the way that I've explained that is satisfactory so that you understand what's needed. And if you have any questions, of course, please do email me, or you can ask now, but you probably go away and have a think about it and then try it when you get it. And we've got one or two of our beta testers here, so maybe they don't have to, but maybe they would like to comment on the fact that they've been using it, and it is a bit of a different way, but they might encourage you to the effect that it can be used and it is working reliably. Let me just pause for any questions. Then what I will do is talk to you about a new product related to JSA, which will just take 2 or 3 minutes, and detail when you're actually going to get this and the forecast of things ahead, and then leave it for any last questions. So any questions about the procedure that I've just been outlining regarding the Shortcuts Manager, etc.
Have to be reproduced for the new version 15.1.
George, I think your question was, do you have to recreate the contacts that you had before? No, you shouldn't have to do that. In fact, you could potentially use them in the old way that you were doing. But I suggest you don't do that. So, for example, if you've always been saying start letters or start the folder name, those commands will still work. But I suggest what you try to do is to get used to the new way of doing things, because ultimately that is what you're going to be working with in the future. In terms of whether the items themselves will still work, even using the new method, then yes, they should. If they don't, then please let me know, but I can't see any reason why not, and those that I have tested seem to work okay.
Brian, this is Les trying one more time. Can you hear me this time?
Certainly can, Les, yes.
Okay, first I want to apologize to everybody for the microphone problems. What I wanted to state was that the new way of performing shortcuts did take a little getting used to, but the learning curve was very short, and I would like to encourage everybody that you will be able to catch on to this. I don't anticipate any major issues for anybody with this.
Just to pick up on what Les was saying, Les also trains people how to use this software as well. So as well as being a beta tester, he does assist people in using it. So his viewpoint and his insight is obviously really, really good to hear. Okay, so you may have heard that there is a new product which has now come onto the horizon, and that is called Zoom Text Fusion, and it's for JAWS and Zoom Text working together. Of course, VFO have purchased AI Squared, and they've now got Zoom Text. And Zoom Text is obviously for low vision users. So the idea behind this is that a person can have the good screen reading capabilities of JAWS for Windows with the excellent magnification and visual tools as provided by Zoom Text, which certainly always have been of a very superior quality, I think. So you can buy this as a single entity now, a single product. There will be a version of JSAY specifically for Zoom Text Fusion. Now, if a person wants to use that right away with the existing JSAY, they can certainly do that. There's no problem with that at all. But by a special version, what we mean is that there are going to be some commands built into JSAY to manipulate Zoom Text itself. So, for example, you're going to be able to control the magnification level. You're going to be able to change colors, change the way that the mouse behaves, those sorts of things. We did try this a few years ago, actually, with a product called Say Magic. Didn't really do anything, unfortunately. Certainly in the UK, Magic doesn't sell particularly well. It's always been Zoom Text that's been the favoured one. But we're going to have another crack at it anyway with Zoom Text. And I think we've got a fighting chance with it because obviously we can use our existing platform that we've already got for JSAY. It is a good solution, not just for individuals who are low vision users, but also for colleges and organisations. A solution for speech and low vision has always really appealed to me, and I think it could be good moving forward with this version. So just to distinguish it, it will be called JFusion, and that will have some magnification and visual change commands built into it. But as I say, if anyone has a desperate need for it right now, the existing JSAY can be used with Zoom Text Fusion. It has been tested with that. The other thing to say is, when are you going to get the JSAY 15.1? It's going to be either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. I wanted to choose a time when I would definitely be available, just in case there were any really significant problems with people upgrading. I do like to be around when that happens. So be about Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. What we'll do after then is we will just wait a few weeks, probably about 4 or 5 weeks, see what feedback we get, particularly with the new features and the new way of creating shortcuts and contacts. Make any modifications, because there are bound to be some. We're bound to have missed something. And then produce an update after that. We are, at that point in the year, actually going to be starting to work on a JSAY equivalent in German, just as a matter of interest. So that will be starting in the summer. But certainly we'll do another JSAY update. We won't do it right away. We'll collect some feedback first once people start using it. And then once we've got a whole load of things together, we will issue a new update. So that is the timetable, at least for the foreseeable future. That is all I've got to say. Thank you for coming to the webinar and also for listening to me. I hope that you found something useful in there, in terms of what I've said. I'm quite happy to stay around for the next 5 or 10 minutes or so. If anyone has any questions that they'd like to ask, you're very welcome to do so.
Yeah, Brian, Harry Brown here. Am I getting through to you?
You're coming through, Harry, yes.
Well, first of all, what an honor this is for me. I cannot tell you the honor that I feel right now talking with you, my friend. As everybody would say, I think, hopefully agree with me on this, and I've said this to you many times, but now I get to talk to you voice to voice. What you have done for the blind community over the years, and now not only the blind community, but other people in the community, other people with disabilities, with JSAY, is just incredible. And I just want to thank you again, because I know you do a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of work to do all the coding and, you know, for the software. And You've changed a lot of lives, my friend, a lot of lives, severely changed them for the better.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and it's really good to talk to you, Harry. I have seen you on the mailing list, and it's really good to hear your voice. Leading on from what Harry was saying, yes, this product, particularly with the Zoom Text Fusion, it could not only assist low vision users, but also people with dyslexia or other challenges where a person needs the comfort of perhaps having something to read on the screen, but also to gain speech feedback as well. So we do see this as a really quite a good market to tap into with JSay.
Adding to what Harry was saying, you know, I can remember we used to recommend JSay. It was mainly for people who physically couldn't type. I'm finding now as I'm working with people, and I have a couple of older individuals now who never learned to type, and they need to write long documents. And so I think the whole idea of who benefits from JSay has really been broadened now.
And that completes the end of the edited highlights of the JSay 15.1 webinar. For more information about our products and services, please visit our website at www.hartgen.org.